Greetings to you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, wrapped up into one lovable package, Glenn Klein, online on a beautiful day in Tampa Bay for a two for Tuesday, October 27, 2020. The only 10-27 two-aught in the history of humanity. Let us continue to choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a terrific, tremendous Tuesday. Yes, we do have a two for Tuesday for you here on GKO as this rendition of Organized Fun with a Purpose rolls on. Two libertarians will be greeting you on this quality podcast. One just happens to be running for president of the United States of America. Dr. Joe Jorgensen is waiting patiently in the green room as we speak. We're going to be talking to the 2020 Libertarian presidential nominee momentarily, as we are 1 week away from Election Day in the United States of America. Yeah, it's every cycle, even for us political junkies, every presidential cycle at this point, it's like, get it over with already, will you please? And there's some major shifts happening in the country that will be ushered in starting a week from today, but will not be finished a week from today. It would be shocking if we know who the president is when we wake up on Wednesday morning, November 4th. It's amazing how, as technology has improved, that our ability to report these things has decreased. When I was a kid, man, we went to bed knowing who was going to be president. Very, very rarely. I mean, when Nixon lost to Kennedy in 1960, they didn't know until the wee hours of the morning, and then Nixon conceded, even though there was some, you know, obviously some shenanigans going on in the great city of Chicago, of which I hail from. Dr. Jorgensen is from Illinois, and we're going to be talking to her about her background a little bit, but most importantly, where do the libertarians go from here? And she was the 1996 vice presidential candidate for your Libertarian Party. We had Spike Cohn on, her running mate, last week. And she was the running mate for Harry Brown, the late, great Harry Brown, who was a good friend of mine. I was doing a radio show, a daily talk show, Glenn Klein Online. What a good name for a show. Back in 1999, 2000, when Harry was running as the Libertarian nominee for the second time. He also was a nominee in 96, as Gary Johnson was in 2012 and 2016. So two cycles for both those gentlemen. But Harry used to come on my program all the time during the campaign. And then when Bush v. Gore happened here in Florida, then it became very, very interesting. And then, of course, the Supreme Court eventually awarded the presidency to George W. Bush. And then Harry was coming on my show still, and then he decided to start his own radio show. So we had the Harry Brown Show on Friday nights on Radio America, which I was honored to co-host. And it was on Friday nights, and if you'll recall, 9/11 happened on a Tuesday in 2001. And Harry and I went on the air on Friday. The entire world, and of course this country, was freaking out. And Harry very calmly and objectively predicted what George W. Bush would do. He made the statement at the time that Al Gore would have done the same thing if Gore would have been awarded the presidency by the Supreme Court. Said exactly what would happen, but also talked about what should happen. It was fascinating. Knowing Harry Brown during those years was really a highlight for me during that time of my life. Harry was a tall, handsome, stately gentleman. I often tell people about Harry that there have been very few people that I've met that I could envision having been a founding father of this country, but Harry Brown is one of them. He was brilliant. He wrote so many wonderful books that are still available today. Unfortunately, a number of years ago, Harry contracted ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease and passed away from that. But he had a wonderful love affair with his wife, and God, were they in love. they lived in Nashville. So Harry would do the show out of his home in Nashville. I was in Tampa, and still am, and I would do the show from here. But he had a great sense of humor and just a tremendous understanding of history and of human nature and a very, very optimistic outlook. But he knew what we should do after 9/11, what was going to happen, and what would be the result of that. And here we are. We're still in Afghanistan. It's incredible. It's absolutely remarkable. Well, I am your play-by-play man and color analyst for life, and so I look at these things relatively objectively. I don't have a dog in the hunt. I vote libertarian, so George Argenson and Spike Cohn have my support. And I have not voted for a Democrat or Republican since I voted for Barack Obama in 2008. Because I actually believed Obama, the yutz that I can be, as naive as I can be. I actually believed him when he said, "Oh, we are not the blue states or the red states. We are the United States of America." That's where that comes from. And yet he ended up being just like your classic Chicago politician. As I said, I am from Chicago. He was schooled in the Mayor Daley perspective of politics. You do what you have to do. You say what you have to say. But he was so disappointing as a president. Obviously, he cut a good jib and lovely family and much more articulate than the current occupant of the White House. It's amazing we've had two historic presidents back to back. Of course, in 2008, we had the first black president elected, and then in 2016, the first orange president elected. Yes, that's two historic back-to-back presidencies. But he's obviously more articulate than Donald J. Trump. But corrupt as the day is long. Just remember, I guess there weren't as many shovel-ready projects. You could keep your doctor. All that stuff. Just, I mean, as good a liar as there is. Not as good a liar as Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton lies with a plum. But everything catches up eventually. And now, of course, Obama's vice president, Joseph Biden, is on the verge. I still think Trump's going to win, but the media literally needs to be sued for journalistic malpractice, how they've been handling Biden. They're not doing the Democrats any favor. It's like anybody but Trump is their mantra. But here's the thing that I need to tell you guys this. You need to know this, regardless of what side you are. Whoever wins or is declared the winner after the election next Tuesday, the shit show that is coming in this country next year and in the year after, leading up to the 2022 midterms, is going to be, it's going to make 2020 look like a tea party, like an absolute afternoon off at the beach here in Clearwater. You can't do what they've done to the economy and not have massive ramifications and consequences. So if Trump ends up pulling it out, the Republican or the Democrats are going to expand their majority in the House. And if they don't take over the Senate next Tuesday, they will then do that. And then what's going to happen, of course, is they will impeach Trump again. And the country won't want that, but the Democrats won't give a shit. they won't give a fuck. So to quote my friend Molly Keaton. So that sets up 2024, and the Democrats would have a real hard time if they did successfully remove Trump. And then who knows what Trump would do. If Biden wins, the exact opposite is true. The Republicans will take majorities in the House and in the Senate in the midterms. And then the next 4 years, whoever becomes the nominee, and the Republicans do have some solid nominees coming up. Whoever becomes the Republican nominee in 2024 wouldn't have 4 years of more Donald J. Trump baggage. So that's my analysis of it. I love politics. And the reason that I love politics and that I love sports so much is because it teaches us so much about life. The reason that I embrace the political perspective and, frankly, the spiritual perspective that I do, which is revealed all the time on our other podcast, Sex in the Pews, is because it speaks of the maximum freedom. And it was for freedom that we were set free. Freedom to do what, Nelge? Freedom to do whatever you want to do. And people always say to me, whatever you want to do? I've said, yeah, that's all we ever do, at least subconsciously. You can't do anything you don't want to do. And so Dr. Joe Jorgensen wanted to run for president of the United States of America. And that is exactly what she did. And we are so honored to have her come online right now. So without any further ado, the pride of Grays Lake, Illinois, and also just happens to be the Libertarian Party's presidential nominee for 2020. Please welcome online Dr. Joe Jorgensen. Dr. Jorgensen.
Well, thank you for doing your homework and mentioning Grays Lake. Everybody just reads where I was born, and then they say, that's my hometown, which it wasn't.
Well, I grew up in Morton Grove. And
oh, my mother. Yes, that's where my mother was born.
In Morton Grove?
Either. She was either born there or born in Evanston, moved. Nope, she was born in Morton Grove and moved there, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Do you, other than Joe Jorgensen's mother being born in Morton Grove, do you know what Morton Grove, Illinois is also most famous for?
The anti-gun, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. The first town in America that passed anti-handgun legislation. And then, of course, that spread to the metropolitan area of Chicago and the city itself. How's that working for Chicago?
Yeah, apparently not as well as they had hoped. And no. It was all hope that was going to get it anyway, because it's certainly not based in fact.
Well, before we do a deep dive into your campaign and all things libertarianism, I must ask, Cubs or White Sox?
Cubs. I grew up on the North Side.
Well, yeah, but you know, you'd be amazed. There's some North Siders and some South Siders don't know what they're doing.
Sorry to interrupt, but yes, now that I think about it, yeah, my cousins who grew up within walking distance of me, they were White Sox fans, come to think of it, but I didn't know too many White Sox fans other than them.
No, I had some good White Sox fans, but we won't hold that against them. I still say that November 2nd, 2016 is still the greatest day of my life. That was the day the Cubs won the World Series after 108 years.
Finally.
Which do you think will be longer? The Cubs, in between the Cubs winning the World Series 108 years, or between that and, let's say, since the Libertarian Party was founded, a Libertarian nominee winning the presidency, which will be longer?
The Cubs.
You think so? You think so?
Maybe it's wishful. I mean, I hate to. Well, now, keep in mind, I have lived in South Carolina for quite a while, and so now my heart's with the Clemson Tigers. But yeah, no, we all need freedom so we can enjoy our baseball games more. So that's what I'm going to stick to.
All right. And so what would you have done for the pandemic if you had been president?
Well, what I would have done completely differently than Donald Trump is I would have gotten rid of the FDA obstacles that kept us from getting tested. There were literally dozens of testing kits out there around the world that were being used around the globe. And thanks to the FDA and the CDC, we were only allowed to use two of them. Therefore, we all had to stay home under house arrest and lose tens of millions of jobs. But you look at South Korea, who got ahead in testing. And they, by the way, they diagnosed their first case within like a week of our first case. And they didn't have any of the problems that we've had.
Yeah, I started blogging about this as soon as they started talking about a shutdown, made a bunch of predictions in my blogs, and then they started coming to pass. And I was like, how the hell did I know this? I'm not that smart. And then I realized all I had done was applied my lifelong pursuit of life principles as a life coach, as a summer camp owner and director, and as a broadcaster onto the pandemic. And I thought, there's a book here. And so that I wrote a book called Early Wake-Up Call, How a Coach's Early Warnings About the Pandemic Can Help You Now, which Trump never would have been able to do it. But I think that somebody who was in a position of leadership that would have thought out of the box and creatively could have done a much different approach to this thing, including dealing with the regulations. The government always makes things either worse or creates new problems that didn't exist.
Yep. Yep. And in fact, when people ask me why I'm running for office, I tell them it's because government is too big, too bossy, too nosy, too intrusive. But the worst part is they usually end up hurting the very people they try to help. And look no further than the pandemic. You know, we've got the FDA, which is supposed to help keep us healthier, safer, and it's made it worse. And, you know, not to mention that it takes about $1 billion in 10 years to bring a drug to market. You know, how is that helping us?
So you're a professor at Clemson now? Is that what you're doing for a living?
Technically a senior lecturer, but yes, the students don't know the difference.
And do they call you Dr. Jorgensen or Professor Jorgensen?
Oh, yeah. Well, Dr. Jorgensen, because I do have a PhD.
So what will Dr. Joe Jorgensen be doing a week from Wednesday morning?
Oh, geez. I hope calling the moving company to get my stuff up to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yes, but what will you really be doing, Dr. Jorgensen?
Wednesday, I will be in Dallas, Texas, the night after my election night party. And I guess it'll be the first day I've had off in over a year. So
I think you'll take a nice nap probably at some point. The intensity for a libertarian candidate is no different, I suppose, than for one of the major parties. I mean, you probably haven't slept in a year.
No, right. I haven't. And in some ways, it might even be worse being a libertarian because we don't have the money that the Democrats and Republicans have to make our lives really smooth.
Now, I do have somebody
who travels with me, and I got to admit, it's been nicer than I thought, but we have a lot of headaches that they certainly don't have.
Well, we talked during the monologue at the start of the show, before we welcomed you on, about my affiliation with the great Harry Brown, the great late Harry Brown.
Yes.
Who you were his vice presidential nominee in 96. And
yes,
the Libertarian Party has been around for a while. But one of the things in the criticisms that I get as I promote libertarianism in general, libertarian values, is that libertarianism, which is, you described it perfectly, philosophically, has never occurred in the earth. There's never been a libertarian government. When you hear that specific criticism, Joe, how do you respond to that?
Well, I never really have heard that criticism, but I would suggest that that's the way it was in the beginning of civilization, in the beginning of America. However, what I would say is there's never been a time in which we've had people living thousands of miles away from us deciding how to spend over half our money and deciding pretty much every aspect of our lives, from education to vaccinations to healthcare to retirement, and had it work by having people spend other people's money. I can tell you that spending other people's money doesn't work.
Yeah, I think the Africans that were kidnapped over here would say that the start of the country was far from libertarian for them.
Well, I'm talking about before that, the Pilgrims.
When they escaped their religious persecution, you're saying?
Right, when they first, back then.
And then established their own. I asked your running mate, Spike Cohen, the same question last week. And he gave the best answer I ever heard to that criticism, which was, just because something hasn't happened before, by the way, there was never a society before in this country without slavery until there was. That doesn't mean that it wasn't a good idea to abolish slavery. And you could name that, you could talk about those things all day long. In fact, there's a great scene. You ever see the movie Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis?
No.
It's a great movie. And, you know, Lincoln, of course, was the closest thing we ever had to a dictator in this country. And Lincoln's character, Daniel Day-Lewis, he grapples with that issue. And that was one of the objections to the 13th Amendment, was, what are we going to do with all these freed black people? And Lincoln's point was like, it's a problem. You know, we don't know, but it doesn't mean you don't do the right thing. And
right.
So I think that we know that the government that is closest to home governs, the government that governs least governs best, and closest to home is the most effective by far.
Oh, yeah, and I've been telling people that the average person shouldn't have any interaction with the federal government at all, because the job of the government is police, courts, and military. So at the federal level, you've got military and then a few federal courts. So unless you're in the military, you should have absolutely no business dealing with the federal government, especially including an income tax.
No doubt about it. I mean, that is, income tax is theft. I mean, it is just as simple as that. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says the federal government can do that, even though the Supreme Court has ruled that it's just hunky-dory with them, but that's who pays their salaries, right, too. Just before we let you go, because I know it's a crazy schedule here for the last week, you sent out a news release just prior to us going online, talking about how maybe that Fox News is fair and balanced after all, because they have been giving you coverage. And I saw you out with Neil Cavuto last week, and I thought you did a terrific job, as Neil does a pretty doggone good job on the regular. As a political animal that you must be, running for president at the level that you're running it at, of course, you can't help but notice the incredible bias of most of the media against Trump and in favor of Biden, and of course against libertarianism, and specifically you. I said that the mainstream media really needs to be sued for journalistic malpractice. What say you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as a libertarian, I'm not going to suggest that I'm entitled to coverage. I'm not. But I would suggest that being on the ballot in all 50 states, having somebody on the ballot in all 50 states that every single American has the chance to vote for, I would suggest that that's newsworthy and that they are not doing their jobs. They are not taking their jobs seriously.
Funniest thing that has happened to you in 1 year's campaigning as a libertarian presidential nominee? The funniest story that comes to your mind?
I would say it's when one of my students sent me a little message during class saying Joe20, you know, hashtag Joe20.com. And I said, I private messaged her back. I said, well, thanks, but I'm not talking about the campaign. And she said something like, yeah, I never understood why the two of you looked so much alike, and then I realized that was you. So I told her, yes, hair and makeup does a lot for a person.
Well, you look great, and just we're proud in the Libertarian Party for sure to have a woman at the head of the ticket. You know, all these women's rights people, and you think that they would be taking more notice of you on the left, but it's a shame that they're not.
Oh, yes. And it's not just for us. It's the American people who are losing, the people who don't realize that they have another choice, one that they would better agree with if the people would just tell them about it.
If you could wave your magic professor baton, your pointer, your libertarian presidential nominee pointer, and either add something to this country or subtract one thing, what would it be?
Oh, geez, Congress.
I'll tell you one thing that would be really good congressionally would be term limits, both for the Senate and for the House. We'd have to pass a constitutional amendment, but that would change everything without a question.
Well, maybe, but as long as there's power and money, there's going to be people going after it. So I still think that's a symptom. But yeah, I guess the income tax would be a start. They wouldn't have as that cut their money in half.
That's
so that'd
true
be a
too.
Good start.
Where are you right now?
I am actually in my hometown. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Savannah, Georgia. In fact, I'm on my way to voting right now. And then I'm going to Iowa and Minnesota.
All right, Minnesota. Well, bring your long johns up there to Minnesota. And and say hello to my daughter and my son-in-law, Hannah and Angel Chiclana, live in Savannah, Georgia. So where are you appearing in Savannah? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
No.
I'll have them look you up, and I'll tell the beautiful humans. Hey, thank you very much for doing this. And safe journeys. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would say, and can you also tell everybody Joe20.com?
Yes, Joe20.com. This Joe, not the other Joe. Joe20.com.
Right, the better Joe.
This significantly Joe. More with it and attractive Joe that's running for president.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a great day.
We'll talk to you soon. Well, maybe thanks, not, Mike. But good luck.
Well, maybe. I hope so.
You never know. I'm going to try for Brian for one more time, but I do appreciate your time.
Or after the election, I'll be around.
All right. Yeah. Then we'll talk some Cubs baseball.
Oh, there you go.
Or some Clemson Tiger football.
Yes.
That's a good football program right there at Clemson, needless to say. All right. Thank you. Safe travels.
Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Bye.
There she goes. Dr. Joe Jorgensen. Yeah, they gave me 15 minutes, so. But you get the sense. I mean, and plus, if you don't know all the positions on libertarianism, just go to joe20.com. I mean, I don't agree with everything that the Libertarian Party says. I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party. I'm an independent. But as I said earlier, I wouldn't vote for a Republican or a Democrat. I can't imagine voting on the national ticket for Republican or Democrat. Locally, I could see it because you get to know them better. I mean, here in Florida, Ron DeSantis, I mean, I think that he's screwed up in a lot of ways, but he's tried to be a more rational, common sense approach to this. And boy, did we ever dodge a bullet with this guy Gillum, who was running the former mayor of Tallahassee, who ended up really having some serious trouble and problems that came out after DeSantis won the election. So 1 week from today, everybody is always encouraging people to vote. I don't. I think that if you have to be encouraged to vote, you shouldn't. If you're not informed, you shouldn't. Not from a moral standpoint, but why? Why is voting this so important if you don't know who the candidates are, what they stand for? But if you are going to vote, I highly recommend vote for Joe Jorgensen for president and Spike Cohen for vice president. And people say, well, that's a waste of vote. Why are you wasting your vote? No, my vote is so precious to me. I will not waste it on the Democrat or the Republican nominee. Joe Biden is, I mean, there's a serious problem there. And of course, Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders and whoever else would be in his cabinet would be running things, because that guy, I mean, he comes in and out of cognitive ability, clearly. And then, you know, we've got the carnival barker. And some of the things that Trump has done, I just was talking to Samuel Anderson, who's running for, as a libertarian Republican, running for the 48th Assembly District in Madison. If you haven't heard that show, that's up on glennkleinonline.com as well. We were talking about the fact that I really appreciate Trump moving the United States Capitol from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We had a nice discussion about that. But he's got a libertarian spin. It's more of a religiously based thing, I think, with that, Samuel. But regardless, you're not going to agree with everybody, but less government is the best government. When I used to own the summer camp in northern Wisconsin, I used to tell the counselors, a residential camp called Camp Menominee in Eagle River, and I used to tell the counselors, don't have any rules that you don't need. Have as few rules as possible. Because the way that human nature works is that as soon as you tell somebody they can't do something, they're going to want to do it more. That's just how human nature works. So the government that governs least governs best. And this is why we have such a nightmare with the pandemic response, because so many people have become sheeple, not taking responsibility for their own lives, for their own health, just looking to the government for everything. And it is not beneficial. It does not work. Get your copy of Early Wake-Up Call at CoachGlennKlein.com. You can also learn about my coaching practice there, or you go to Amazon for the book as well. Really appreciate Dr. Joe Jorgensen and appreciate you for listening. The website is CoachGlennKlein.com, or the webcast, of course. The podcast can be found at GlennKleinOnline.com. Let me hear from you. Anytime, the email address is grow@CoachGlennKlein.com. We will do it all again next time. And until that time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody. Love you.